Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Green Room Podcast. Special episode this week. Rivalry week is finally upon us. We've waited so long for this week. The big game, Michigan State meeting at East Lansing at noon on Saturday. Everyone in the world apparently is going to be there. Game day is going to be there. Fox Big Noon Kickoff is going to be there. Barstools Roadshow, whatever the hell that is going to be there.
It's going to be in Lansing.
It's going to be a popular place to be on Saturday. Tony Paul with the Detroit News here, joined by, of course, as always, Matt Charbonneau, our Michigan State beat writer, but a special guest today, the new beat writer of Michigan football, Angelique Shengelis, who joins us, the angel of the big house. I know she hates the longtime beat writer, so we'll just call her new. She's only been on the beat, this is 30 years, so she's still getting used to it. Right, Angelique?
I am. Wow. I didn't even know. Is this a big rivalry with Michigan?
Apparently that's what they say. That's what they say. Obviously a huge game this weekend. Michigan State both 7-0. They're both ranked. The first time they've met is undefeated since 2010. First time they've met since they've both been in the top 10 since 1964. Although I will say that 1999 was pretty close. So that, I think Michigan State was ranked 11th in 1999. And that, to me, is the game that always comes back to mind when thinking about this one, is that 99 game. I think there's a lot of parallels there, but we'll get into that. But
15, wasn't it like 7-12 in 2015? I don't remember what happened that year, but
I don't remember. I remember Michigan State.
I don't remember that game either. What happened?
Something.
Pretty boring finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a very big deal.
Was that the trouble with the snap game?
Holy cow. Come on, Tony.
Of course.
I'm a little under the weather. My mind is not with it today. I apologize. But I know that all I know from that season is Michigan State went to the playoff. That's all I
know. Look, I'm so dialed in because we took our own bye week, apparently, on the Green Room pod. So I'm fired up. I got all these details ready here, and you don't even know when trouble with the snap.
No, I'm blaming you for that, by the way. Definitely blaming you for that.
No, that's a two-way street, pal. Anyway.
No. You. All you.
Don't listen to me.
But hey, you know, our listeners have come to expect intermittent podcasts from us. So why you let them down at this point? So big game. obviously Michigan's coming off the win over Northwestern. Michigan State's coming off a bye. Michigan's favored by about 4.5 when you look at most books, which it started around 4. It's creeping up, which is a little surprising to me. But then again, Michigan's coming off a game and Michigan State's not. And so I think that there's a little bit to that. Neither team has played a really great schedule. I think both these teams are very similar. And I think we're going to find out a lot on Saturday. Matt,
you know, thoughts? I agree with you, but I feel like after Saturday, is all you're going to hear is no matter whichever team wins, you're going to hear, well, the other team actually turns out wasn't that good, right? And we're going to find out against Ohio State. You know, it just feels like that to me. I don't buy that because I agree. I think I've said this before. I think both are good teams. We still haven't figured out if one of them's a great team. I'm not sure if either team's a great team, to be perfectly honest with you.
I would agree with that.
I think they're both very good teams. The way Ohio State's playing, I'm not sure any of this matters offensively, the way Ohio State's playing, but we're going to worry about that down the road. I think you're right that these teams have been so similar, not exactly in the way they're doing it. Obviously their offenses are different and those sort of things, but just the schedules they played, they both played Nebraska close. You know, it's just been really kind of odd how they're both, nobody expected either team to be in this position yet. Here they are. And yet we're still wondering. They're ranked in the top 10, and we're like, are they really top 10 teams? And I don't know if that's fair or not. maybe that's part of the expectations coming into the year. But I ramble on about that all the time because it always bothers me. And I think that's part of why you see the point spread the way it is. Because I think your average fan or an average bettor will probably just lean towards Michigan and look.
Oh, there's a brand there. Michigan's always going to be more heavily bet on than Michigan State.
Right, and I think sometimes we get too wrapped up in the point spread and wondering, you know, who's we think's better or not. I mean, look, the sports books aren't dumb. They want to make the most money. So this is probably – I am a little surprised it's going up. I'm with you there, but
– I thought it would creep back down, and all the odds makers I talked to said from the get-go that it was going to creep up rather than back the other way. But, look – spread doesn't mean much in rivalry games. Michigan was more than a 3-touchdown favorite a year ago. We all know what happened there. You play who you play. I mean, you're playing your schedule and you're both undefeated. And I think that that's all you can say right now. These are two of the 9 remaining undefeated teams in FBS. And so whether or not they're great teams, and I agree with you, Matt, I don't think either one is a great team. I still think, 9-3, 10-2 is pretty much the ceiling for these teams. That's what I believe. But we'll see. We'll see. You play the game on the field and it'll be East Lansing and Angelique will be there. She's eating an apple now. Angelique, you ready to chime in? You done with your apple?
I haven't been eating the apple.
So healthy, except you're eating it with peanut butter though. So it's, I guess it's kind of, it's apple.
Well, I need some protein. Apple-ish.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I got to get through this week.
You just got, we're taping this Tuesday night. You just got back from Ann Arbor. What's the vibe over there? I mean, this is a huge game for Jim Harbaugh. And I know that it seems like we always say, well, Michigan State's, you know, they're playing with house money or whatever. And if they lose, not as big of a deal. But the reality is it is year 2 of Mel Tucker and it's year 7 of Jim Harbaugh. And last year was a devastating loss for, you know, even in a COVID year, was a devastating loss for Michigan. And this is the big one.
This is enormously important for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, the seat was hot as the season started. And then, you know, as they kept racking up the wins, the seat has seemed to, it's a little tepid. But I think this is absolutely a must win for Jim Harbaugh because maybe the Penn State game, I don't know where Penn State's going to go. I would imagine now after James Franklin's comments calling Ohio State, Illinois, and the shoe, the big house today, I have a feeling Ryan Day and Ohio State are just going to flatten them on Saturday night. But, they've got to beat Michigan State. Ohio State's always there, the bar, the very high bar that they hope to someday attain again. But for Jim Harbaugh, I'm not going to say that the debate now whether he comes back for another year is going to be on the table, but it definitely will, depending on how this game goes, if they lose, how they lose. I think the discussion then starts again. Like, you know, this is year 7 and he's 3-3, right, going into this game against Michigan State. And this is an important one, a very important one for him.
Yeah. It's obviously, it's been a great game for many years. Michigan State's gotten the best, obviously, under the last 13 years. They've won 9 of them. Interestingly enough, I thought, you know, when we talk about the line, I thought, well, home field advantage. And then you start to look, home field advantage hasn't meant much in this series. I mean, 5 of the last 6 winners in this game have been the road team. So who knows? Maybe that's just the added pressure of being the home team in front of a large crowd. By the way, it's going to be the largest crowd in Spartan Stadium probably in 6 years, if not longer. I mean, yeah, they've had sellouts, but we all know they've had pockets of empty seats, no question.
I don't think there'll be pockets of empty seats.
There won't be. I was talking to a ticket broker from Grand Rapids yesterday who sold a parking pass for $775. Not a ticket, a parking pass. It's a hot ticket. It's going to, you know, everyone's going to want to be there. It's going to be fun. And it's 2 equally matched teams. So I guess we'll just break it down from there. Matt, if you want to break down where you think Michigan State has the edge, where is the edge for them?
Yeah, I mean, you're right in saying these teams are so closely matched. But right now, offensively, and obviously we know the last time Michigan State played against Indiana, probably their worst offensive game. Not probably. I mean, statistically it was. I think 241 total yards, which is well below their season average. But I think the more, I guess, concerning thing for Michigan State fans is a lot of the things that they hadn't been doing this year. They did in that game some, you know, some poor decisions from Peyton Thorne, a couple bad throws. He had the two picks. You know, there wasn't a ton of room for Kenneth Walker. The big plays weren't there. But other than that, I mean, they've been really consistent and really balanced this year offensively. So, you know, you get a week off to iron out some of those things. I think you got to feel good about where this offense is. The other concern I have is that offensive line. Have they played a defensive line like Michigan's yet? I think that's debatable. I think Nebraska is very physical and talented up front. Miami is too, even as crazy as and as out of hand as that game got, they had players up front. And Indiana to a certain extent did. I know they got rolled by Ohio State last week, but I think everyone's going to do that. So there's a little question. I mean, I think offensive line's been pretty good this year, but, you know, like a lot of things, have they really played a team good enough yet? We'll see. I don't know. I think that's a big toss-up going into this game. So, you know, offensively, I think we've seen them be good. Can they consistently be good? Can they show that the Indiana game was a little bit of an outlier? And then on the other side of the ball, here's the interesting thing is we all have this impression they're so bad against the pass. And if you're looking at strictly pass numbers, they are. I mean, I still think they're last in the Big Ten. But when you start looking at all these other defensive numbers in terms of scoring, in terms of red zone defense, in terms of sacks per game, they're top 20 in the country, top 15 in some of those. I mean, this is a defense that may drive you nuts at certain points, but they keep teams out of the end zone. They put pressure on the quarterback. The big question will be, can they contain that running attack of Michigan's enough to force Cade McNamara to have to make some throws or McCarthy if he gets in?
That's the key. You talk about them being, you know, people say they're bad against the pass. Luckily for that, Michigan State or Michigan is bad with the pass. So, Angelique, I mean, that's the big question, the million-dollar question this week. I mean, look, Cade McNamara has done what they need him to do. He's won games. He's kept possession of the ball. You know, it's easy to not throw picks when you're throwing 2 and 3 yard passes. That's not going to cut it this week. I think they're going to need some explosive plays. They're going to need to hit some home runs with the pass game and just running it. And they have a great running game with Haskins and Corum, but that's not going to be enough.
Well, and I think it's a mistake to constantly pile on Cade McNamara.
Piling on him. He's done what they needed.
No, not you. But I was thinking about like our colleague Wojo, after the last game.
He's not with us. He's at a buffet somewhere.
I know, but beating the drum for J.J. McCarthy, which is kind of now standard practice with Michigan fans. And, you know, I also contend when Ronnie Bell went down, that was a huge element.
Was a big blow.
And they have not really, I mean, I thought it would be Cornelius Johnson, and he's been there at times. But I think now you're seeing the elevation of the tight ends in this offense. And I think that they're going to play a very important role on Saturday at Michigan State. And but you're right. I mean, Cade McNamara has done what they have asked him to do. And I was looking back at the stats from the Rutgers game last year when he came in for Joe Milton. And he had a couple big pass plays there, and he was – you know, I was thinking about that game and I remembered how I thought how fluid he was and that even Josh Gattis seemed to be calling. It was just a crisper, you know, play calling was better and Cade McNamara was more fluid than Joe Milton was. And so I think it's there, but I think it's unfair. And I know you're not piling on Cade McNamara, but I think a lot of people are and they forget. Sorry, I just hit something that the receivers have not carried him enough either. I mean, they've dropped some passes in critical times and they need to find someone who's going to be consistent. Like Ronnie Bell was clutch for him. Yeah. Maybe they can't, but you know, I'm thinking maybe you're looking for, I keep wondering why AJ Henning hasn't been more of an offensive factor for them. I think he's extremely talented. Roman Wilson got back in last week. His wrist was wrapped, but he got one catch. And I thought, well, that was probably just to get the rust off to get him ready for Michigan State. So, but yeah, I think for sure that's going to be the game plan is to load the box and dare him to throw. And that's going to be really the game plan, I think. I mean, I think Matt's right that Corum and Haskins will run hard and they'll get some yards. And they've done that against some decent defenses. Nebraska, they got their yards. And, but, you know, we all know this is a different game. It's much more physical. It's much nastier. It's chippier, all those things. And it's going to be really elevated. And I think you got to look at what Matt was referring to, Michigan's defensive line. I think Aiden Hutchinson is a guy who's extremely fired up for this game. And, you know, he said he looks at that film from last year's Michigan State game and threw up. You know, that's what he watched it 20 or some times, something like that, a couple dozen. And he just wanted to throw up watching it. So I think he's really motivated.
Yeah, well, when you're a three touchdown favorite and you lose at home to your rival, yeah, that's a puke inducing situation. So I get it. But you know, the big narrative about this game has always been that the team that runs the ball will win the game, runs the ball the best. But I think they're both going to run the ball pretty well. I think they both have, obviously, Walker's, you know, he's the sixth favorite in betting markets to win the Heisman. Michigan State's never had a Heisman winner. I certainly don't think anyone expected this at the beginning of the year. Coming off not a great game, but, you know, solid. And he's going to be big, and the two-headed monster for Michigan is going to be big. But if you look back on so many of these games, it's who makes the home run plays. I mean, the big plays that stand out. And, you know, I think about that 99 game, which was my first year at Michigan State. I mean, it was Plaxico Burress. I mean, it was just Plaxico Burress one catch after another, after another, after another. And I think and Michigan State's got the playmakers that have hit. Michigan State's offense has hit more home runs this year than Michigan, no question about it. And special teams, of course, too. So I think that's going to be key. And I think if there's a reason I lean toward Michigan State at all, and I think the game could go either way, no question, but I just think that Michigan State has a few more home run hitters in this game. And I think that's going to matter. Like I said, everyone talks about the running game and whoever runs the ball, but you know, you think about it over the years, it's who makes those huge plays, those big soul crushers, if you will. And I think just Michigan State's got a few more playmakers capable of doing that, particularly the pass game against Michigan's corners. And I think that's going to be big.
I'll say this too about Michigan State's offense, that obviously they've had big plays this year and that's been a big part of it. But I think, and I've heard a little bit of this nationally the past week here, that the idea is that's all that Michigan State's offense is just kind of meander along, then hit a few big plays and you win. Well, that really hasn't been it. I mean, I think a look at Kenneth Walker's games. I mean, he's had two games where he's gone over 200 yards. And in both those games, he had a long run, a 75-yard run, a 94-yard run. If you take those away, just the Northwestern game alone, he still had 189 yards on like 24 carries or some darn thing. I mean, this is an offense that has been consistently moving the ball. And it's almost like people don't really buy it because they were so bad offensively last year. They've been bad for 3 years. So it kind of feels like, well, they just hit a few big plays. I mean, those are important. Don't get me wrong. And you're right. I think that will play a big factor in this game. If one team or the other is able to hit a few of those, but I think it sells the Michigan State offense short a little bit. Kind of the idea that's all they do.
But, oh, it is. I mean,
not saying you were saying that.
No, but I mean, Walker, you know, Walker's, you know, is just a beast to take down, and he extends drives with his runs after a yard, you know, after being hit. I think the tight ends are going to be big in this game. I think Hayward's going to be big. This is going to be a physical game. I think the tight ends on both sides are going to be big in this game. So I think it's going to be fascinating. Every year, I think obviously any of these teams can win, except for what was it, 2001. I didn't think Michigan State could win in 2001. So 1 year, the Bobby Williams game, right? But most years, I believe any team can win, but there's always a team that you think has the edge, right? There's always a team that you think that team's really playing well, that team beat that team, you know, this, you know, like last year, you know, Michigan should win that game, you know, upset. It happens in rivalries. This is one of the rare years where I look at these teams and they're just, everything is just so similar. Their trajectory, starting with their expectations from the beginning of the year, to how they started the season, to how they've played, to what their strengths are, to their trajectory, like to their schedule, to the, you know, the way they beat the same team. It's just everything when you look at these teams just seems so similar. And for that reason, I'm really pumped for this game. I really think it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays. I don't see this being one of those blowout years. That's for sure.
Well, I think it's going to be really important. I just think Michigan is designed as a team to come back. You know, they've played with the lead most of the season. I think they got behind in Nebraska and then danced on the sideline and came back and won that game. But so I think if Michigan State, and I know Matt's, you know, cautioning people to think that this is just a quick strike offense, but they've had, I think, nine of their scores have been in a minute or less. If they get one of those at the start of the game and the crowd is electric, as I suspect it'll be, this is not a situation that Michigan's used to. And I just don't think the way that the offense is designed with Cade McNamara and the receivers and the way things have gone, I don't think this is a team that's well designed to come from behind. And I think that that's, you know, that's one thing that Michigan talked about in preseason camp and heading into the season was getting out to quick starts and then maintaining a lead. And that's going to be important for them. But if it's the other way around, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how they try to climb back, because they're not used to this situation.
No, I'm curious too. What do you think?
Pass the ball, when you don't pass the ball, it's very difficult to come back. I think JJ McCarthy might be the guy. And that's where we talk about when we might see JJ McCarthy, if they do need a spark to their offense. Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You mentioned the crowd, and I'm obviously it's going to be packed and the place will be silly, but I don't normally put much into this, but I'm wondering if you think the game time will be a factor here, because as much as there was the debate, is a big game at noon, is a big game at night or whatever, there does seem to be a different feel for these sort of games when it is at night, and it feels more intimidating to that visiting team, to whereas a noon game to me might not have that same feeling. Do you think that Michigan maybe in a way caught a break by this game time, that it's not that nighttime really crazy atmosphere, that just something feels different about it? I mean, I don't know, maybe it's nothing, but it just seems like something.
That's definitely a reasonable question. And they went in Nebraska in a night game, and that place was, as the player said, probably second loudest to Penn State at a whiteout. It was crazy. I mean, they, you know, I was talking to parents who were there, they couldn't hear each other talk. And so there is that electric atmosphere at night. You're right. I mean, I don't know how different it's going to be at noon, but I'm thinking maybe with game day there and the Fox, I forget what their shows.
Whatever. Big noon kickoff. Come on.
Big noon kickoff. That maybe the fans, you know, people will be getting there early, going to those things, tailgating early, and then getting into the stadium. And because I know, like at Michigan, a lot of those noon starts, the students they don't get in there for a little while, and it takes some time. But it does have a different feel, and they probably did catch a break in that sense, Michigan. But I got to believe that they're going to, I think it's going to be pretty nuts in there even at noon.
That's what I'm banking on. The fans are going to be pretty lit and pretty lubed up already. They're going to be there, you know, tailgating along the Red Cedar.
Lubed up? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, trying to say.
Yeah, but they're going to be there about 6 a.m. on the Red Cedar River, you know, doing shots of whatever. Anyway.
By the way, Tony is recapping his college career.
I am.
There are certain games that I don't recall. I couldn't tell you today what happened in those games. That's very, very true. Took me a while, but I matured. By the way, can we get this out of the way? I just want to get this out of the way. It's a rant, whatever. The noon kickoff and the fans and the media and everyone bitching about that being noon and it's disrespected. Like, shut the hell up. There's big noon games every week in college football. Oregon, Ohio State, by the way, the biggest game to start the season was at noon. Like, it's like, come on. Like, I just don't understand.
Isn't there a game at the end of the season that has to be at noon every year? I think
the Michigan Ohio State game. I did a story a couple of years ago. The guy at Fox is from West Bloomfield, I think, originally, but he's been out on the West Coast for a long time. And that was his goal, was to make this the big stage in college football. And we talked about, because at that point, Michigan was scheduled to play Washington in Washington last year. And he talked about the possibility of making that a 9 a.m. Pacific Coast time start, so that it would be on at noon, because a lot of the Pac-12 teams were complaining that they don't get the eyeballs on the East Coast because people don't want to stay up and watch those games starting at whatever time, 10 o'clock our time. And but it is a big stage. And I know people do equate night game with the biggest game of the day, but I don't know. I didn't have a game to cover last week, and I actually sort of tapered off by the end of the evening. I mean, I was 2 weeks ago, pardon me. And I was definitely focused early for those games. And then,
it's just the whole narrative. It's just the whole narrative that, well, we're disrespected and blah, blah, blah. First of all, by the way, you have two networks to get to choose between Ohio State and Penn State. Penn State hadn't yet lost a ridiculous 9 overtime game to Illinois. Ohio State, I mean, They're the franchise. Okay. So if you're a TV executive, you're going to take Ohio State. That's just a reality. Michigan and Michigan State, huge here. Not as big, you know, a lot of these in-state rivalries just don't, they just don't, you know, generate the eyeballs across the country. It's just the regional games. And I, you know, that's a reality. You can bitch about it. You can, you know, say we're disrespected. No, if you have to choose, you're a TV executive. You want the eyeballs. You're going to take, at least before the Illinois-Penn State game, you're going to take Ohio State-Penn State. And so Michigan, Michigan State's at noon. It's not a disrespect thing. And there are big noon games. There have been big noon games in college football since the beginning of time. And I just, I don't understand the you know, fire and fury about, oh, how dare the TV executives disrespect. Shut up. I mean, it's going to be fun. And then you got the whole rest of the day to get on with your day and do whatever you need to do. I don't know. I like noon football. I equate college football with noon games. That's I always have. And I think it'll be great. I think it'll be fun.
I like noon games and I like night games. I do not like 3:30 games. I really like the night kickoff. I do like it, but
that's fun. I mean, like, there's an electricity to it. No question about it.
Selfishly, I don't want to work till 2 or 3 in the morning, but whatever.
But nobody wants to hear that, Matt.
I don't care. Doesn't make me want to do it anymore. But whatever. I mean, we've already had 3 night games this year, so whatever. It is what it is.
Well, the thing is, though, you know, if this we're saying it's more of a regional interest, but if these programs keep rolling like this, Tucker keeps Michigan State where it is, and Jim Harbaugh, whoever, this is definitely going to take a bigger stage.
Of course. Now.
I mean, of it's course. So it's getting there. And yeah, I mean, Michigan State dominated there for a while with Mark D'Antonio, but then Rich Rodriguez was here. So Michigan wasn't carrying its end of the bargain.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Michigan State isn't the blue blood program. Okay. They're just not. They had a very nice run, but they're not a blue blood. And frankly, Michigan's not a blue blood if you look at success for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so until the teams get on that trajectory, it's going to be a regional interest game. It's going to be a lot of fun here. But if you're a TV executive looking to sell the most ads and make the most money, you're going to choose Ohio State playing Penn State. It's just a reality. And that doesn't disrespect Michigan or Michigan State because it's still going to get the eyeballs. And it still has the, you know, all the TV, you know, all the TV coverage it's going to get. So anyway.
Well, real quick. Hold on real quick.
Really quick because we're running out of time.
Yeah, whatever. That said, if they would have waited a week, I guarantee you they would have changed their mind and it'd be the night game. But anyway.
Well, and by the way, absolutely, because if game day had to choose last week where they were coming this week, they also would have chosen Penn State, Ohio State. But because Penn State loses to Illinois in 1,000 overtimes, game day is coming to East Lansing. It was a no-brainer.
1,000. Did you say in 1,000 gimmicks? I mean, overtime.
Yeah, I didn't know that college football went to that ridiculous system. I'm like, wait a minute, how can it be 19-18 or whatever with 9 over, whatever the score was? But I don't know. I'm out of the loop. Poor James Franklin, you know, what a tough life.
No, please.
It's like, how do you root for James Franklin or Brett Bielema? Like, what a Sophie's choice that is, right? I mean, Jesus. I mean, goddamn. Anyway, we're running out of time.
Well, they're making more money than we are.
That is true. That is true. very, very true. I mean, we're doing all right. I mean, the media and newspaper industry is still thriving. We're good. anyway, we're going to wrap this up really quickly. We're going to get to what everyone loves to hear. We're going to talk the quick predictions. I'll go first. I think that, like I said, I think Michigan State's just got a little bit more playmaking ability. I like that it's at home. I like where I think the trajectory of their program sets up nicely for a win. But, I mean, I'm not going to be surprised either way, but I'll go 27-21 Michigan State. So I guess I'm going to take the under on the points. Angelique, your turn.
You want me to go next? Yeah. All right, I'm picking Michigan State, too. I think in large part because Michigan's corners haven't really been tested yet, and I don't think they haven't seen anything like this, what they could possibly, and we'll see on Saturday. So, I'm going with Michigan State 28-24.
All right, Matthew.
We did all this and haven't even mentioned that Michigan State's coach is apparently the in vogue pick for LSU.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time, and given that we're so flush with cash in the media industry, we're not allowed to upgrade to Zoom Premium. So we got to get going here.
Well, other newspapers.
We'll talk about that if he leaves. By the way, that's another parallel to 99, you know, the whole LSU thing. But anyway, we'll discuss that down the road, because I don't think that's going away anytime soon, nor should it. I mean, when you're
coach, well, he didn't really shut it down Monday.
No, he didn't. No. Well, he didn't, because, you know, I'm sure he learned his lesson. Mel Tucker probably learned his lesson in Colorado that you don't say never. Right. You know,
and that's fair. I mean, it's not a criticism.
Look, I don't think I don't think he's leaving. I think it's under 50%, but I think it's possible. And I think he'll listen. And any Michigan State fan who says that LSU and Michigan State are comparable is crazy. I'm sorry. Yes, well, Michigan State can match the money, but they can't match the recruiting, and they can't match the national prominence. They just can't.
But there's a lot of reasons beyond that, though, that Mel Tucker would want to stay, too, and that's also reality. But I'm with you. I don't think it's happening this time, but if this program continues this way, get used to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the first time you're going to hear your coach's name. No. Anyway, but yeah, I don't think – he didn't really shut it down, but he's no dummy. I mean – you know, you work in a little couple extra bucks, a couple more years in that contract, that all matters. So, because, you know, facility wise, fundraising wise, it's all in motion there. So it's way different than back in the Nick Saban days when the president didn't care. So a little different situation this year.
No, it is.
Anyway, we can dive into that later. Yeah, I don't think it's an issue at all.
Get to your prediction
this week,
here. So. Running out of time.
We have 6 minutes and 9 seconds. We're fine. Or
sometimes whatever. It cuts off early. Let's go.
I'm with you guys. I give a slight edge to Michigan State. I've watched this defense. I mean, we focus so much on the offense. I've watched this defense a few times this year say, we're going to make a team one-dimensional, and we're going to make this quarterback beat us from the pocket. And each time that team has been unable to do it, I don't see Cade McNamara being able to do that. I'm not trying to trash the guy, but I don't think he's the difference maker in this game to win a game like this. Now, that said, if Michigan's two running backs go off for about 150 apiece,
then
your whole one dimensional thing goes out the window. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Michigan State will make a few big plays. I have a little more confidence that Peyton Thorne can be effective. And Mangelique mentioned the Michigan corners have yet to really be tested. And I think they'll take advantage of that. They got the playmakers to do it. And I'm going 30-24 Michigan State.
Well, one thing, and I know we're running out of time, but we didn't talk about turnovers and special teams very much. Those are always a big deal in this game,
and
too.
And I think they both, and again, and I was thinking about that.
They're comparable.
They're comparable, but I think there's a slight edge there to Michigan State again, because, I mean, and I'm sure they're going to keep the ball away from, you know, on the punts and the kickoffs as best they can. You know, Michigan, they're going to have to worry about that. But, you know, Michigan can't make the mistakes they made last week, and they needed to get that out of the system, because if they have those two turnovers this week like they did last week, that could be a disaster.
It'll also be interesting to see, you know, Michigan had what I call essentially a scrimmage last week before this game, and Michigan State didn't do anything. So is it going to take them a little time to get the rust off? I time will tell, obviously, but, you wonder about all those little intangibles.
Penalties too. 2 weeks ago, Michigan State committed 12 penalties for 134 yards.
Wow.
Unsportsmanlike conducts from seniors like Connor Hayward running their mouth. Well, that stuff matters in a game like this. If you start having that nonsense, you're in trouble.
But you're going to see that. Now, I guarantee there will be multiple unsportsmanlike penalties on both sides in this game. There always is. It's a heated rivalry, but it's fun. And again, you know, this week's game, it's just incredible how, if you look at every little stat and every little area on these teams and their trajectory and everything, it's just, you'd be hard pressed to find a game between these two teams where it just seems like, you know, totally flip a coin. Like, these are just two very similar teams in that you're right, they're probably not great teams, but you play who you play, and they're two of the last 9 undefeated teams in FBS. There's a Big Ten championship that is in play if whoever wins this game, and an outside chance at the playoff. You know, Ohio State, we all know, is very, very good, and has certainly, you know, rolled since the loss to Oregon. So it's going to be interesting. We have all the coverage available at DetroitNews.com. Angelique has got coverage. Matt's got coverage. Wojo chimes in with his hilarious picks column later this week. we'll have all sorts of coverage from the stadium on Saturday, from early in the morning to late at night, from Matt and Angelique, and Wojo and Neil will both be there. So check us out, DetroitNews.com. If you're really feeling, you know, generous, subscribe. It's $1 for 6 months. Great deal.
Buy a paper,
which, by the way, the actual buying a hard copy of the paper costs you more than the subscription for the 6 months of DetroitNews.com for one paper. But subscribe. We got all sorts of stuff. We got the picks coming up. We got the preview coverage coming up, and we'll have tons of coverage on game day for the biggest game of the year in college football. It's going to be a doozy. Noon on Saturday, Michigan State 7-0, both ranked top 10.
Angelique, know your place. Stay at the other end of the press box. You and Wojo, just don't bother me. All right.
And Matt, don't disappoint me. You know, I want you to show up in your Paul Bunyan flannel shirt like you.
This is never going to end. See, the rivalry's there with us too, folks. There you go.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's it. We'll be sure not to skip next week for the Green Room podcast. We'll be back probably Saturday or Sunday or Monday to recap this game and kind of look at the path forward for both of these teams. But until then, that's Angelique. That's Matt. And you can follow them on Twitter, Angelique at Shingelis, Charbonneau at Matt Charbonneau, me at Tony Paul 1984. And again, check us all out at DetroitNews.com. Guys, go get it done.
See ya.
Bye.